He was the original master chef whose kitchen definitely ruled well before Jamie Nigella, Huey, Curtis Stone.
Come and get it, come and get it, with Peter Russell Clark. In the city or the outback, he's Australia's brightest spark. Come and get it, come and get it, good food you love to eat.
Oh, doesn't that take you back? It was the soundtrack of my childhood, I can tell you, probably yours too. Peter, g'day, Russell, g'day, Clark, g'day. G'day. Welcome to Brisbane Live.
Do you know, it used to be come and get it, it's now piss off, you've had it.
Well, there we go, that's setting the tone straight away. I was going to say, where have you been for the last 30 years? I grew up with you in the 80s.
I've been waiting to be called on this radio station.
There we go. What have you been doing? You're still getting on the...
I do a lot of writing and a lot of painting. Yeah. Painting and cooking are the same. You deal with colour, form, texture, shape. People tend to like paintings, whereas with the food, they tip it on your head if you don't like it.
Well, they can put paintings on your head too. Mate, we were just talking in the ad break. They're reminiscing. I was telling you how I was 6, 7, 8 during the 80s watching it on the ABC. It was 5 to 6 every night. I was trying to figure out whether it was before the goodies or after the goodies or Monkey Magic.
It was before, because the parents would say to their children, if you want to watch Inspector Gadget, you've got to watch this boring Gadget. Bloody cooking show for 5 minutes. If you don't watch a cooking show, no Inspector Gadget.
Well, no, talk me about that, because you were a trendsetter. You were well ahead of your time. We see now that people can't get enough of cooking shows. MasterChef, My Kitchen Rules. You were the one who led the pack.
Well, that may or may not be so. What I did was try to tell people about food.
Yeah.
I didn't try to make a competition of whether you dislike someone or want to embarrass them. I'm more interested in knowing whether a carrot's got carotene in it or whether it's good for your eyesight and whether the maids of the court of Prince Charles, instead of wearing ostrich feathers in their hair, they wore carrot tops, which is a true story.
Really?
Hmm.
How do you find that out?
By making it up when I go on radio.
See, I wasn't sucked into that. I'm very good. He hasn't lost it, has he? I tell you what. I was going to then ask you, what do you make of the Master Chefs in My Kitchen Rules? But I think we pretty much got it from that answer there.
Well, I probably dislike them because they don't invite me on it. The other reason is, I think it's wrong and nearly immoral to do something that sets out to embarrass somebody.
Sure.
What we should be doing is saying, once you've finished watching this show, you now know that a potato doesn't make you fat. You need the cellulose from the potato. And the Irish, before the Great Famine in the 1800s, the average Irish family ate 8 pounds of potatoes a day, and it didn't do them much harm. Oh, wait a minute, now I come to think of it.
Yeah, exactly right. I was going to take up on that one. So informing people about food, educating people about food, that's the background where you've come from.
Say, for instance, I'm talking about cheese at the moment, and some people might say, but cheese is animal fat, and therefore you shouldn't eat it. What they should be saying is, our bodies need animal fat, and if you eat animal fat, then you've got to exercise. So instead of saying don't eat cheese, they should be saying eat cheese and exercise.
It makes a lot of sense. What do you make of kale and quinoa and all the Archie berries? Is that what they call
all that stuff? Look, it's just
goji berries.
Kale actually. The only good thing about kale is if you wash it, then spray it with oil and pop it in the oven, it crisps up.
Right.
And that's good for about once.
Yeah. You try it once, that's it.
Actually, it's like marriage, really.
I'm not even going down that path. There's plenty of lines there about going in the oven.
I've been married for 56 years. I can speak with experience.
56 years, what's the secret?
56 years.
I can see a twinkle in your eye right there. Careful.
Love and kisses at all times.
Oh, there we go. Very good. We are speaking to Peter Russell Clark, the first. Can we call you celebrity chef? I'm going to call you celebrity chef.
It's
on
a
TV.
Bit of a wank, isn't it?
Yeah, well, really. I don't know.
It really is.
Yeah.
I think that the reason you become a chef on television is because you're no good in the kitchen in a restaurant. If you're any good as a chef, you get a good proper job. You don't go on television swanning around with your lipstick on straight.
Gordon Ramsay, I wonder if you're listening to that one.
I went to his restaurant. I was asked to write an article for a book called Australian Traveller and magazine.
Mm.
And I went along there to write a critique on it. And the portions were slightly smaller than my thumbnail. And tasted about as good.
Were you asked to review again after that?
Actually, they sacked me. I think I said something to the editor that he didn't like.
Now, you had a career in media before the TV as well. I mean, you mentioned about art and painting before.
Well, I was a political cartoonist on the Melbourne Herald, and I drew a comic strip called Ben Bojang. I think in Queensland it was called Guns Gully.
Right.
Anyway, it was an old strip. I did it for 10 years. It was started by CJ Dennis, and then various artists took it over. So I've painted, drawn, and written stories all my life.
Political cartoonist. So how would you go in these days, these political times?
I didn't do too well when I was doing it, so I don't think I'd do very well now, actually.
You'd have a lot of fun, though.
Well, I think that the politicians of today are self-serving wankers. I believe they're not attempting to help the country. I think that what they're trying to do is to help themselves. And they help themselves by dipping into my hip pocket, and I don't like it.
I'll tell you what, you're not the only one who has said that. Plenty of calls to this program over the journey are saying exactly the same thing. One of your catchcries was, where's the cheese?
Why? Where's the cheese is in cheese therapy.
Yeah. And that's what brings you to town too.
That's
cheese.
Right.
Where is the cheese? Actually,
well,
the cheese?
I've just come from the launch of cheese therapy. It's a couple of blokes and their girlfriends that had got together and decided that they'll bring good Australian cheese and imported cheese together and form a club where the people that are members of that club will get cheeses once a month that they can't get anywhere else.
Really?
It's a bloody good idea, actually.
It is. Well, we do that with wines, don't we?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And also, with wines, we there's a lot of wank about wines. What I can't understand is if a wine sells for, say, $35 and another wine sells for $45...
What's the difference?
How do you tell that it's $20 worth of better flavour?
Yeah.
You know, come on. And so what cheese therapy is doing is the same thing with cheese. They're trying to say we want to take the mysticism and intricacies out of cheese and ask you whether you like the taste of it. And if you do, then we'll supply you with that cheese and match it up with the wine that you like. And like the winemakers that are made heroes, we'll make the cheesemakers heroes as well. Because they're artisans, you know. They're clever buggers.
Yeah, they do.
Apart from the cow, which has got a lot to do with it.
Well, what goes into making a good cheese? What makes a good cheese? What makes one stand out?
Well, it's very interesting that milk all around the world tastes about the same.
Mm.
You know, there might be a slight difference here and there. If that's the case, and it is, then how is it that a lot of cheeses vary? They vary in thickness, in texture, in taste, and that's because of the cheesemaker who's got the skill to curdle the milk, which is where you get the word curds from, which sounds like turds. You get the curds and the whey, which is the liquid that comes off the curds. That's like the watery stuff.
Yep.
The amount of whey that you leave in the curds determines whether the cheese will be soft or hard. And so the winemaker's got to have the skill to be able to do that and to capture the flavours of maybe the herbs that the cow has been eating. And though they're very subtle, like hardly a nuance of flavour, he's able to intensify that flavour so you end up with something that's full of calcium, which we need. Mm. Women, for instance, when they have a baby, they make bones in their body that goes into the baby, and then it drops out whatever it drops out of. But the woman doesn't remake the bones. She doesn't resupply the calcium, which is strange, but she doesn't. So she has to ingest calcium.
Calcium, yeah.
So instead of going to the chemist and getting some bloody pills, you should eat a whole stack of cheese therapy cheese.
There we go. Cheese therapy. We're getting lessons in nature. We're getting lessons in cheese. We're getting lessons in biology. Peter Russell Clark, it is so good to see you. I could chat for hours, but I sadly don't have hours. I do need to get a commercial break. Before I let you go, though, why the catchphrase, where's the cheese? Was it a push from the dairy industry? Was it a...
No. I wrote all my own commercials, mainly because I didn't want people to force me to say things that were untrue or wrong.
Sure.
And walking down the street, if you've been on television, someone wants to speak to you. Being Australian, they don't say, "G'day, mate, how are you?" They say, "Piss off, you ugly turd."
No, we don't.
And then, yes, they do. And then they say, "Only joking, how are you, mate?" So to cut through that, I thought I'd give them something to say. So they'd say, "Where's the cheese?" Then they say, "You ugly little turd, piss off."
Oh, dear. I'm not going to say that to you, but we do have to PO
quite quickly. It's been a great
delight. Cheesetherapy.com.au if you want to be part of it. Thank you for coming in and sharing. And let's make it not another 30-odd years till we catch each other
again. Thank you for vaguely believing what I've said.